Good morning.
Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Roswell. We are so glad that you have joined us on this Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a wonderful time of worship. We are so glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us here today, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. We are so grateful that you have come to join us, and we would love to get to know you a little bit better. One of the best ways to do that is by finding the connection card in the pew rack in front of you. Fill it out. Place it in the offering plate as it comes by later, just so we can have a record of your attendance. Make contact with you later this week, let you know how glad we are that you came and joined us for worship. You'll see in your bulletin an announcement sheet. Lots of stuff going on in the life of the church. Many things about to kick off here in the church. Let me point out a few of those to you. You will find a card that looks just like this about our Wednesday nights. I love Wednesday nights, and we are kicking off this coming Wednesday, September 6th, with fellowship dinners and then activities for everyone. You'll see a full listing of the adult elective classes that will be offered. Many interesting topics will be offered, as well as on the back, you can see that we'll have activities for preschoolers, elementary school age children, youth, and everyone else. And so we would love to see you here this coming Wednesday for dinner and for full activities. Also, you'll see in your announcements that our church-wide listening sessions with the Center for Healthy Churches are starting next Sunday, and they'll run for 3 days. You can sign up online for one of those time slots. If you have anything that you want to share or that you want to talk about in this season of interim ministry, we would love to hear from you as we reflect and do those things together. Also, don't forget that next Sunday night, our children and youth choirs are kicking off. If you have not yet signed up, this is a wonderful time for our kids and our youth. One of my kids' favorite things that we do here. And so we would love for you to sign up for that. It will be a wonderful time for our kids and our youth starting next Sunday night, children and youth choirs. But even in spite of everything that we have going on, we have gathered here this morning for worship. I encourage you now, as the Trinity is chimed, to just take a deep breath. Invite God silently where you sit to come and join us here in worship. Block out anything that might distract you from experiencing God this morning as we worship together. You'll find in your bulletin our call to worship this morning. Please follow along as we read responsively together our call to worship. I will read the light print and you will join for the dark print. Though we may be inclined to brag, let us come together with humility. Though we may be tempted to use harsh words, let us come together with gentleness. Though we may want everything to happen quickly, let us come together with patience. Though the world around often encourages hate, let us come together in love.
How good a thing it is when all of God's people live together in unity.
In humility, gentleness, patience, love, and unity, let us worship the God who has called us together.
Thank you.
Good morning, boys and girls. I am a happy pastor because I get to do what Miss Jessica gets to do every Sunday. Now, those of you that are disappointed, she'll be back next Sunday, I promise you. I want us to talk about your name. Now, this is kind of a silly thought or a silly question, but every one of us has a name, right? And it's unique to you, and only you have that name. But I'm going to tell you today about a name that we all share in common, and that is you are a child of God. And I want you to think about that with me just for a few minutes this morning. There's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that says that when you were in your mommy's tummy, God knew you, and he knew your name. He knows everything about you. And I want you to look out among the congregation today, and I want you to remember today that God knows everybody's name. Not only their name, but what's going on, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, their concerns. God knows everything. And when I get up and preach, or sometimes when I preach or when I pray, it amazes me when I remember that God knows our name. So who likes a sticker? Any of y'all like stickers? Well, everybody gets a sticker today. Nothing better than a good sticker, is it? And the sticker says, child of God. So this next week, when you're laying in your bed and maybe you're scared or lonely or confused, I want you to remember that you are a child of God. God loves you. He knows your name, and he's there for us every step of the way. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you so much for these dear, precious children. Thank you for mommies and daddies, for grandparents who are trying to help train up each child in your nurture and your care. We love you today, and we worship you. We thank you that we can say today, collectively, we are your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, those of you with Miss Lynn, she has your sticker. If you're not with Miss Lynn, I have a sticker for you. All right. Y'all have a good week, and we look forward to seeing you next week. You got enough for them.
you join me as we pray? Holy and most gracious God, thank you for today. For the air outside, for the sunshiny skies, for the birds, for the rain we've had, for all the many things that we have to be thankful for, we come to you with gratitude and hope being that we can be sincere when we say thank you for all that you have blessed us with. For a place to worship, a place to come into, family and friends to join alongside as we sing your praises, all the many ways that we find you interwoven into our lives. Indeed, we are a grateful people. God, we remember not just us and our being here today, but all those in our church that are in need of you. Whether it's those of us here in the pew or those at home, those that are grieving, those that are sad, those that are hurt, those that are ill and sick, those that need your healing and loving touch and care, those that have things to celebrate and to rejoice for, and those that are just happy to be with you. God, we lift up all of these things that we have audibly on our hearts, and we lift up all those that we have silent on our hearts. For you hear us when we pray. God, we pray for our church. We pray that we might be found faithful as your people, that we might take a moment to listen, to discern, to pause, to be patient, to be present for you. God, may our wills be lost in thine as we sang this morning. For when we gather, while we bring all of ourselves in to this place, it's not about us, but it's about where you would have us go and be and serve as your people. God, we don't always get it right. And so this morning we pray that you might help us to be found more faithful and to get just a little bit closer to where you draw us near to. God, we pray this and ask for the strength and the courage to meet the days ahead of us and all the ways that you would have us go and lead us. We pause this morning as we pray to remember that when we get it wrong, there is grace for that. For when we audibly say aloud the ways that we stray, we find ourselves closer to you. As we pray this morning, would you join me in the prayer written on the screen or in the bulletin? We'll read all these words together. Gracious God, we acknowledge our need of you today. We have not loved you with all of our heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as we love ourselves. We have not done those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. We have remained still and silent when we should have acted or spoken up. We have spoken in haste, out of fear, in anger, in condemnation, and in judgment. We have held on to unhealthy thoughts and passions and worries. Gracious God, we acknowledge our sin, our need of you. Forgive us, for we have sinned. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. morning's scripture is Obadiah verses 12 through 15. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut their fugitives, nor hand them over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Generous Lord, our Creator, the sustainer of our life, the one who has loved us through it all, we come to you today with our hearts open to you, with recognition and with humility that everything we have comes from you and belongs to you. In gratitude for your love, for your mercy and your goodness to us. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us with your financial blessings to us, and we ask that it be used to your service. Use this offering, use us to serve for you in your world and to bring glory to your name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. So for any of you who were here last week, I promise that I did not go running this morning. Only time I run is when I'm being chased. So, and if I happen to have a coughing fit, I have some cough drops in my pocket just in case. Well, during the month of August, the ministers focused on one-pagers in the Bible for our chapel Bible study. We had a list to choose from, and I chose Obadiah. And I confess that when I began reading Obadiah to prepare, it wasn't what I thought I had chosen. The prophet Obadiah proclaims that the country of Edom will be destroyed because of their hand in the destruction of Jerusalem and the capture of God's people. But Obadiah tells them that it is because of the violence against their brother Jacob. For the Edomites are descendants of Esau, and the Israelites are descendants of Jacob. So with this in mind, and having taught about what happened generations later between these two peoples, the story of Jacob and Esau kept coming up for me. And so today, I hope you will open your hearts to hear a word from God from the story of these two brothers. Our scripture comes from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 26. You can follow along in your Bible, on the screen, or in your order of worship. Genesis chapter 25, starting in verse 19. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, siblings are our first friends. They are the people we play with and the people with whom we argue. They are the people we constantly try to one-up, but they're also the people for whom we stand up. And is it really Christmas if your mom isn't yelling, "Act like you like each other so we can get a decent family picture"? Okay, how many of the moms out here have ever said that? Yeah. How many of the kids out here have ever heard that? I've heard it. My mom said that to us. Sibling relationships are complex. And if you need to talk about your relationship with your siblings, you can feel free to find Dr. Doyle after the service. There's no one else who can make you angrier than your siblings, or for whom you will fight more fiercely. Well, sisters Venus and Serena Williams are forces to be reckoned with on the tennis court. And when they play doubles together, if you are their opponent, you might as well forfeit already. But sometimes they must compete against each other, and that's when things can get ugly. They have faced off a total of 8 times, and Serena was pretty upset when Venus beat her twice in a row. After all, as the oldest, you're supposed to win. I'm the oldest child in my family, if you haven't figured that out. Jacob and Esau were twins, and they were pretty big rivals. Jacob resented being the younger one, especially since he was only younger by about that much. Well, in addition to being the younger son, the Bible also tells us that it wasn't Jacob who was Isaac's favorite. It was Esau, the oldest. Esau loved the fields and hunting, whereas Jacob liked to stay close to home. And I'm sure that Esau probably made fun of his brother for staying at home instead of going hunting with him. And even though Jacob was his mother's favorite, that wasn't enough for him because he was not his father's favorite. Well, one day Esau came home and was starving, and Jacob was cooking stew. And Esau demanded that Jacob give him some because he was utterly famished. And Jacob, never one to miss an opportunity, told Esau that he would if he sold him his birthright. It seems that Esau took his inheritance for granted and sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. The Bible doesn't say, but I wonder if after he had eaten his fill, if Esau regretted his decision. So the birthright of the eldest child in the ancient Near East was that they would become the head of the clan and receive a double portion of the inheritance. But now Esau had given that up to Jacob. Now Isaac's line would run through Jacob, not Esau. And later, after Jacob wrestled with God, he became known as Israel. And the Israelites were his descendants. So what the Lord told Rebekah was true. Two nations would come from her womb, the Israelites and the Edomites. But what Rebekah didn't know was that their hostility would be their undoing. It would contribute to Jerusalem's downfall, as well as the destruction of the Edomites, as we read in Obadiah. Well, Esau's birthright wasn't the only thing that Jacob took from him. Jacob also took his blessing, dressing up as his brother before their father died, so that he could receive it. And Esau was left with nothing. And as you can imagine, he was furious. Well, once Jacob had taken everything from Esau, he had to run. It wasn't safe for him to be around his brother. There are families where siblings not only don't get along, but they're also a danger to one another. Rebekah sent Jacob away, not knowing what Esau would do. And Jacob continued to run from Esau for the rest of his life. The difficult truth in the lives of Jacob and Esau is that the trust between them was lost. And once it was gone, it was never regained. Later on in Genesis, Jacob and Esau saw one another again. Jacob was terrified of seeing his brother again, and he tried his best to placate Esau with gifts. He sent animals and servants ahead of him, anything that he could do to delay the inevitable and hope that his brother would not take revenge. And that night, Jacob wrestled with God, and so he came to Esau limping. But when he finally met Esau again, Esau ran and embraced him, throwing his arms around his brother's neck. Esau, it seems, had forgiven his brother and wanted to reconcile. But Jacob still didn't trust him. And so although Jacob told Esau that he would come with him, he went a different way. Have you ever refused to forgive someone? Have you ever been unable to trust someone's forgiveness of you? There was a moment when Jacob and Esau could have set aside their hostility and become brothers once again. And had they done so, perhaps Edom would have helped Israel when they needed it, or perhaps Israel would not have needed help in the first place. We don't know how things would have looked had Jacob accepted Esau's forgiveness. Because instead of accepting it, Jacob turned away. And eventually these two peoples would become bitter enemies. Our earlier scripture reading comes from the book of Obadiah. In Obadiah, the prophet says that divine justice will rain down on the Edomites for their role in Jerusalem's destruction. The bitter relationship between the Edomites and the Israelites that began with Jacob and Esau continued on through their descendants, with the Edomites joining in on the destruction and plunder of Jerusalem and capturing fugitives who fled from Judah. The cycle of animosity and pain continued for generations, but soon that cycle would end as divine justice would destroy the Edomites for the things that they had done. So it can be easy to dismiss the story of Jacob and Esau and say, that doesn't apply to us. After all, you may get along great with your siblings. And even if you don't, you probably aren't forcing them to give you their most treasured possession. And yet we find ourselves in this story more often than we realize or care to admit. When a friend betrays us, we want revenge. We want justice when someone doesn't keep something confidential and creates pain in our lives. We find ourselves in this story when we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, treat one another poorly and create animosity, much like what happened between Jacob and Esau. I used to have a t-shirt that said, "Attitude is everything." It was a reminder that I couldn't control my circumstances, but I could control my attitude. And if I'm honest with myself, I still need that t-shirt today and should probably wear it every single day. Jacob didn't have to do what he did to his brother, and Esau didn't have to react in the way that he did. But instead of owning the wrongs that they had done, they allowed animosity and hostility to build. Eventually, they met again. And this time, Esau embraced his brother. He welcomed him in. And although Jacob embraced Esau too, he did not follow him. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but it seems as if that one decision meant that animosity crept back in until one day the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, turned their backs on Israel, the descendants of Jacob. Well, let's fast forward to today. Christians tend to be known by who we turn our backs on instead of who we love. There's been a lot of stuff in the news about churches lately, about the Methodists and how they are splitting, about Baptists and how the SBC is voting. So I worked at Barnes & Noble for a bit before I came to First Baptist, so that was about 12 years ago now. And it was always interesting to me when I told my coworkers that I was a Baptist minister. They always acted surprised that I was so normal. And I would always say, "I'm not like the Baptists you see on TV." Because at that time, 12 years ago, those Baptists that they saw on TV were people like the protesters from Westboro Baptist, who were on the news protesting at funerals and being hateful to grieving families. No, we are not always known by our love. My church split when I was a teenager. There were some things that happened, and there was a vote that was called to decide whether or not the pastor should stay. And there was a slim margin that decided that the pastor would stay. So the folks who voted against that pastor got up to leave. And the folks who stayed behind and had voted for him to stay clapped. It was a dark day in that church. Nobody won that day. Yes, that pastor stayed, but that church is dead now. The only thing it would have cost them to be humble and kind to one another was pride. And yet, instead of showing God's love to their brothers and sisters in Christ in that moment, everyone chose a different attitude and way of being. And that church's witness to the community was shattered. How does our community see First Baptist Roswell? How do they see our attitudes toward one another? Are we kind and loving, doing life with one another, disagreeing at times, but always with love and respect? Or do we allow our pride and anger to get in the way? Do we allow fear to get in the way? You see, on that day long ago, Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. And Esau threw away his birthright for a bowl of stew. They were both in the wrong. But instead of both acknowledging their wrongdoing and forgiving one another, they became enemies for a long time. And years later, Jacob was still running from Esau. And even when Esau embraced him and welcomed him in, Jacob still couldn't trust it. He couldn't accept that Esau was no longer angry. He couldn't accept Esau's forgiveness. And instead, he walked away. And because of that choice, the cycle continued for generations, until the Edomites eventually joined in the plunder of Israel's cities and the capture of God's people. Our attitudes, our choices, can mean the difference between someone seeing the love of God and someone turning their backs on God. So what are we to do with this story? Hopefully none of us have siblings who are our enemy, as much as Jacob and Esau were enemies. But the story still speaks to us today. The story reminds us of the importance of our attitudes toward one another. We are not going to like every single person, and we are not going to like every single Christian. But the fact remains that each and every person is created by God and is worthy of respect and love. Jacob and Esau's story, and the story of the Edomites and the Israelites later on, reminds us of the importance of treating others with respect and love. And it reminds us of the importance of helping others. Because Obadiah prophesied that Edom would be destroyed, judged for their treatment of God's people. And Obadiah says, "As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head." So what are you doing? If what you have done, if how you have treated others would be done to you, would you be pleased? Would you be sad? Would you be afraid? Perhaps you are like Esau, the brother who was wronged, and you just can't forgive. Or maybe you have forgiven, but you just can't bring yourself to forget, and it colors everything you do. Or perhaps you are like Jacob, who did what he wanted without a thought for his brother. Perhaps you desperately want forgiveness, but you can't bring yourself to accept it when it comes. Perhaps you are still running and refuse to accept grace when it is offered. As we continue to move forward in this time of transition, it is my hope that we will treat one another with respect and love. I hope that we will give each other grace. I hope that we will recognize that we cannot always change our circumstances, but we can change our attitudes. I hope that we will be open to seeing the pain that someone else is feeling and reaching out to help instead of turning away. I hope that although we, like siblings, at times have our disagreements and misunderstandings, that we will find a way forward, united as the body of Christ. For that is what we are. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your grace towards us. Thank you for your loving kindness, that when we deserve your divine justice, it does not rain down upon us. Help us to treat one another with respect and with love. Help us to forgive others when they have wronged us, and help us to see others through your eyes. Please be with our church in this time of transition, Lord. Help us to seek your will. Make it clear to us what you want us to do. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is the Servant Song. You can find that in your order of worship on the insert or on the screens. And if you would like to join this community of faith, we would love to have you be a part of us. You are welcome to come down if you have any decisions to make during this hymn. Please stand as we sing the Servant Song. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Have a few announcements. Remember that the church office is closed tomorrow as we celebrate Labor Day. I hope that you and your children and your families will enjoy having an extra day off, even though when we go back on Tuesday, it always feels like Monday. But I hope you have a wonderful week. And we hope to see you Wednesday night as we kick off our Wednesday night dinners and all of our regular activities. There's a lot of wonderful Bible studies and activities happening, and we're excited about our new chef for Wednesday nights, so we hope that you will join us for that. And now, hear these words of benediction. May you be willing to accept the grace of God, even when you feel unforgivable. May you rest in knowing that God is there, and there is nothing that you can do for which there is not grace for you. And may you be willing to open your heart and to extend grace to those who do not deserve it. May you always be willing to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. And as we go from this place, let us share God's love and grace with all that we meet. Amen.